I believe we now have Barbados Water Authority on the line. Mr. Charles Leslie, Director of Engineering. Charles?
Yes, hi. Good morning.
Good afternoon, Charles. You're living happy, man. It's afternoon.
Good afternoon. Well, I'm busy the whole morning. Yes,
I can imagine. We have a couple of callers and WhatsAppers regarding some other issues, but let's touch on the Boscobel issue and the fact that they're not getting any water for the past 6 months. What's the situation? What's the update on Boscobel?
Okay, in the Boscobel area, as you indicated, we are having some challenges, and this is because we had a reduction in the production of water, like from Allendale, which normally would supply that area. The salinity at Allendale, because of the dry period that we were going through, started to go so high, it was approaching the WHO limit. And as a result of that, we had to throttle Allendale back to manage. As a consequence of that as well, we ended up with some areas having shortage of pipe-borne water going into that Boscobel, Lambert's area. We had added a container rice plant at Hope, and that assisted. And then those areas that were affected, we were supplying them with water through the community tanks and the water tankers. In the short term, the Barbados Water Authority is looking to position two containerized plants in the north of the island, and we are currently working on that solution. That will be a temporary solution until we can move to a more permanent solution. Once those containerized plants are set up, that should alleviate most of the issues that we're having in the north of the island. And our crews are currently working on that now. One has been earmarked for Colleton, and the other one has been earmarked for in the Mullins area. And those two plants will add approximately 750,000 gallons a day into those two systems to help that area.
Okay, so let me ask you, if the salinity problem is starting at Allendale, that goes mm-hmm. half acre Lambert's Boscobel, then mm-hmm. why is it Boscobel mainly impacted? Why isn't the salinity levels that are high, then if you shut down pumping, why is it not affecting other people?
Okay. Allendale would normally produce just over 1 million gallons a day. From the Allendale, this is the Allendale source. That 1 million gallons would go into the half acre system, and we would pump some from there to the Lambert system and some from there to the Boscobel system. If there is a shortage, what normally happens is that the one at the top normally experiences the problems first. Mm-hmm. We've been trying to bleed water over from the Rock Hall system, which is at a slightly higher elevation. But that too has its challenges because the Rock Hall system too has been experiencing some problems as well. Rock Hall system is being fed from the Haymans and the Wim station. And as a result of the increase in salinity, those two have been affected. The Boscobel system is the one, because it's right at the top, that is experiencing most of the challenges. What we had been doing earlier in the year to help the system would be to do some shutoffs in that northern area. But then those shutoffs brought other challenges with groundwater for even the customers at the lower elevation. So we had to reduce those shutoffs. So the temporary solution that we're putting in place now in terms of the containerized plant should alleviate a lot of the water shortage issues that we're having in that Boscobel area. We understand it is difficult to operate from a community tank, and we empathize with those customers who have to draw that water from the tank. But our crews are working to be able to put that solution in the shortest possible time.
Okay, so let me ask, the temporary desal setup at the Hope, Is that operational?
Yes, that one is operational.
Okay.
That one is operational. And what happens there too is when there is a, when we're going through an extended dry period, even that one is affected because the salinity then starts to creep up on that one, and we, a reduction has to be made at that one as well, because the plant can only cope with a certain salinity, you know, of the water. So if they're designed to say, treat up to like 15,000 parts per million salinity, if it goes over that, then the we have to reduce so that you balance that mixture of fresh water and seawater with the plants. The only plants that can continue to pump continuously and produce continuously in a seawater environment or seawater design plant. And the plant that we have at the Hope is a brackish water plant.
So, okay, we've been having a lot of rainfall, and we know it takes 90 days. So let's just say January, you don't have the packaged desal plants in place. Would they then see an improvement without the desal plants? Or even with the rainfall, are you saying that you're still going to have a shortfall?
With the rainfall, you should see an improvement. And when I spoke to our operations as well as the water quality this morning, they normally check our patients every Tuesday and sometimes on Thursdays as well, do the sampling for like water quality, the salinity and the nitrate. And they've indicated that they believe with the rains that we've recently been experiencing that they would help. Obviously, at the rate at which we are pumping, if we do not continue to get rains like this, we will, you know, end up reverting back to the situation that we had experienced earlier in the year.
So,
so with the recent rains, we're hopeful that we can, the production at the facilities I spoke about, Allendale, Wim, Hayman, can go up, you know, slightly, because obviously with the rain, with the water getting into the ground, that would dilute the water that is being pumped now.
Mm-hmm.
So once that dilution occurs, we could increase the production from the facility.
So
the issue is not with those production wells. You have to be balancing the salt water or the salinity with those wells all the time. If we continue to pump the wells at a constant rate without monitoring that, and we have dry periods, what will happen is that we will then begin to bring the salt water, which is under the fresh water, we will begin to bring that up into the soil and the well. And then once that comes up, it's very difficult for it to go back down. It normally has to be flushed down over a longer period of time.
All right. So for the residents of Boscobel, reason being in this situation, it is location, one, and is drought-related. And because of where the tank is located, hence then brings the impact for the people more so than those in Lamberts and the surrounding areas of Allendale. Because it starts at Allendale. But when I asked you why all the way to Boscobel would be the persons who would be impacted the most, basically you explained the salinity, but where they're located, the problem really would be more so at the end. Because
right, at the end of the system.
At the end of the system. In addition to that, there are two things. We know that you've built a tank, a new tank at Boscobel, but transferring from one to the other is not really helping the problem, because it's still the same amount of water when you transfer it.
Yes, transferring would not help. Transferring basically from the old tank to the new tank just gives us more reliability for you get a better structure to hold the water once you get it into the area. But the tank alone is not going to bring new water into the area.
So could you let the people know why you decided to build a new tank? Because there must be a reason then.
Yes, the existing tank there was in a really bad condition. Because of the age of it, the tank would have, over the years, started to corrode. And if you take a look at it now, you will see that the metal of the tank was beginning to, you know, corrode in areas. You could actually see the rust from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So we felt uncomfortable, and the engineers, when they did the assessment, felt uncomfortable with that tank. So that's why we opted to replace that tank. And we, over the last couple of weeks, what we've been doing is trying to fill the tank up and test it so that we can then commission the new tank and decommission the old tank and remove it from the area. But even filling that new tank up and test it is a challenge because of the water situation.
One second, here we got some breaking news. Yes, okay. One second. Here with Stetson Bob. We're just going to have to take a minute to switch to Stetson.
Well, we have an important weather statement from the Barbados Met Office. Let's cross directly now to the director of the Barbados Met Office, Sabo Best. Sabo?
We understand Barbados has ahead of it what looks like it could be a major rain event. Tell us about it.
Hi, good afternoon, Tesson, and good afternoon, listeners. That's correct. We have a tropical wave to our east that should begin to affect the island starting from after midnight tonight. But the rainfall accumulations after midnight doesn't look to be very significant, but it's coming into Thursday, late morning into the afternoon, where we see rainfall accumulations really accelerating up to a possible 6 to 8 inches of rain. That's a considerable amount of rainfall, particularly the fact that we've already been getting heavy and amounts of rainfall over the past few days. The ground is already saturated, and an additional 6 to 8 inches is going to create some problems in a lot of locations. This afternoon, we will be issuing a flood watch for Barbados for tomorrow. And as time goes on, that flood watch may upgrade to a flash flood watch. At this time, the model guidance has been persistent and consistently suggesting high volumes of rainfall, high amounts of rainfall, sorry, accumulation around Barbados. And this should spread into the St. Vincent and the Seven Islands, the Les Antilles, late tomorrow as well.
What advice do you have for the public in terms of their own preparation and response?
Right. So first off, I know I just want to make it clear, it's not a storm or anything like that. It's a significant rainfall event. This is historically, climatologically, you can say, October is our wettest month, full stop. And we're going to get some times where we get excessive rainfall like this. So the best preparation is to ensure that, like around your homes and your drains around your home is kept clear as possible. I would imagine that DM will work closely with the DOs to assist in situations like that. We do expect some gusts with like heavy convection, but strong convection, sorry, but it's not going to be something that should be anything worrisome, to be honest. One of the things that might be a problem is that since the ground is so saturated and more rain is coming, the soils, depending on some trees and where they're holding some soil, might be a little weak, and you may get a collapse or two or one or two trees, especially with the gusts. So just be mindful of that as well. Now, if you're planning your routes tomorrow, just ensure that you plan well in terms of if you know a certain roads flood during heavy precipitation, plan out your routes well in advance that you can have alternate routes or take different routes that you know that are not notorious for flooding, and that could significantly save a lot of time. And also, if there's areas where you see an inundation with water or water moving across roads and stuff, try not to drive through them. That could be pretty dangerous. But at this point, remain vigilant and stay tuned with us on our website and our social media pages. We always have the updates coming fairly frequently. But like I said, from this afternoon, we're just going to put flood warning in effect for Barbados for tomorrow.
So again, just give us a quick synopsis then. What is the event and what Barbadians can expect and when?
Okay, so it's a tropical wave that's going to be enhanced by a very favorable upper-level environment. And this environment is favorable for development of deep convection. And there could be also some significant thunderstorm activity. But at this point in time, we're not going to issue a severe thunderstorm watch at this time. More important is the excess rainfall as a major concern. But we will obviously monitor closely if indeed that we will need to do a severe thunderstorm watch as well as time goes on. But this is, like I said, today should be showers eased off from this morning. We should see some more showers coming back in the evening, off and on, off and on. Those shower frequency will probably increase by after midnight tonight, but not persistently so. Could be sharp, moderate, heavy showers, but very brief. And coming in, same as tomorrow, but increasing in frequency and duration by coming to tomorrow afternoon, and more persistently so as the evening rolls on tomorrow.
All right, that's Sabu Best, director of the Barbados Met Office.
Thank you, Stetson. Funny enough, Barbados Water Authority, that might be good news for you, not so good for persons in low-lying areas. But let me ask you before we get to the news, when you put in the desal plants, the packaged desal plants, the temporary plants, as you said, and you augment the system, how do you then work on the discolored water, the brown water of the residents in the north? Because getting more water is one thing, but getting given them water and it's not water that they can use, how are you managing that? And are you going to start back your swabbing exercise or with the mains, or what is the plan?
Right. Once we have additional water in the system, we normally would do two things to assist with the discolored water. One is the flushing. And in areas where the flushing does not work, we then go to the extreme where we do the swabbing. We had to, you know, cease some of that activity, because normally with those activities, you use quite a bit of water to push the swabs through the mains. And then after you do the swabbing for the water in the lines to clear up again. So once we have additional water, those would be the two solutions that we will use to be able to clear up that brown water problem in the short term. In the longer term, we'll be looking at mains replacement in some of those areas. And we have to be prioritizing the locations where we do the mains replacement. Each time we do mains replacement, we have to look at a number of factors. We have to look at persons who are getting discolored water. We have to look at the frequency of bursts. We have to look at the type of facilities that are connected to the system. And we use a whole number of criteria then to be able to determine which mains we replace first. And due to the age of our network, it is a challenge finding the resources to replace all of the mains that is, you know, at once. But we are doing it in a strategic manner. We are prioritizing them, and we would be eventually at a position where we renew a lot of our network.
So one last question. You said that you can't give a timeline on the desal plants. I mean, because we know sometimes if the conditions are favorable, a packaged desal plant could go up as little as 6 weeks to 8 weeks.
Not 6 to 8 weeks, not in the locations that we are proposing. We have to do some drilling, and we have already engaged some drilling contractors to do the work. We're doing them simultaneously, so we'll be working on both of them together, so we not wait until one is finished and go to the other one. In terms of the procurement of the equipment, that has started already, so we're going to be working as quickly as we can to get them in place.
So no definite timeline.
6 weeks would be, 6 weeks would be if you have a location already set up already.
Okay. So 2021, early 2021, we will say, because you're certainly not looking at this year to completion, obviously.
We'll be working to get it completed in the shortest possible time. I believe we may be able to everything goes well,
according to plan,
get it and get them running. Start with the process this year and get them set up and running, obviously, for the new year.
No problem. Charles, I want to thank you so much. Water 30, thank you. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air, 12:43. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Ms. Eric. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm good, too. All right, we've got some unfinished business, but before we get to that, I want to give the Stacks man some support in his call about listening and hearing. And he too had been a victim of it. Because in Miss Motley's acceptance speech, she offered the non-contributory pensioners a $70 a week increase, which were cooked about 43%. And she promised to keep the parity with the contributory pensioners. I spoke on it, and he get in it and say that she said she would keep the differential. So he told them here parity. After I explained to him the most famous differential is the one on the vehicle, he changed it then to relativity. So he too is suffering with the difference between hearing and listening. Normally when I listening to anything and anybody shout me, I just hear them. But I would tell them by listening to the program or listening to the news or listening to whatever. So I know the difference between hearing and listening. So he can deal with that and we can leave that there. Okay. Now, you know that I always like to ask you about timelines. Mm-hmm. And I see you just had on somebody from the Water Authority. I don't know if you can answer what is the losses today as we speak.
I certainly can't answer that.
But you know that's one of the things we had outstanding from last time that year was the find out what are the losses.
No, as far as I know, it's still at the 49%.
49?
Somewhat in terms of water loss. But I could be wrong. Again, the engineer was on, and I'm sorry we didn't keep him on the air. You could have posed your question there, but we'll put it out again, and we'll see.
Well, 49, I would be glad if it's 49. I honestly would be glad if it's 49. Anyhow, the Hyatt, that was originally scheduled to open its doors when...
You tell me. You do a lot of listening, so tell me.
I think it was originally to open its doors in December or the winter season for 2018.
The Hyatt? Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. But then the challenges and everything... it get pushed back. What is the timeline now for opening up?
Again, you tell me.
No. I'm not involved in it.
No. But I am?
You are.
I am?
You are.
Oh, okay. So you see, here's the funny thing about you learning to listen and hearing. Because clearly there seems to be a disconnect between what you heard and what you listened to. And sometimes, and maybe, I can only say there may be a disconnect. This is the first time I am hearing that I am connected to the Hyatt. I wish I was. I mean, I wouldn't be sitting here. I would be busy collecting my money and I'm working on the Hyatt or even owning it. But sorry to burst your bubble. It's not me.
Well, if you're saying not you.
No, I ain't just saying it. I'm telling you.
Okay, no, I can't concede. I have no problem with conceding. Mm-hmm. The good Lord don't act. To be responsible for what you don't know.
Okay.
What about the Clement Payne Freedom Park?
And you asked and question was answered, and it will repeat again. That information will be shared with media houses in a timely fashion when that starts. That's all I can tell you on it.
So that's the latest on it?
I spoke 2 weeks ago to you, and basically, yes, that's the position on...
No change.
Not as far as I know. I've been listening and hearing the news, and I haven't heard anything different to what I said before.
All right, it will be good if you can follow it up, and we can get up to date.
Well, I'm going to make a special effort to listen and see if I get one, and not just hear.
No, don't listen. You would know the operatives.
Well, in order for me to ask a question, I would have to then listen to the response. So I'll try to do a combination of the two. And I'm also working on my skills of communicating to understand and not just to reply. And I would share that with you too and hoping that you can do the same. We all can. Believe you me, I find sometimes when I'm communicating with people, and it's something that I'm working on, I communicate to reply and not necessarily to understand. But that's something I'm working on too. You have a lot of noise there.
You have a nice day. I got to run.
Okay. You be careful now. Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Miss Egg.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
I'm good.
I call on a couple issues, but I want to go back to one that was mentioned by a caller a couple steps back, just to refer to the fact to make the political history of the country correct. Because he did say that when Frank Walker ran for St. Michael West, that the people down there had rejected, was very upset with him because of the party statement. But that statement was not made in St. Michael West. That statement was made in Spite Sound in St. Peter. So just that it would not be tied up in the political history of Barbados, it was not made in St. Michael West. It was made in St. Peter. So just want to make that, for those people who do political history jottings, I just want to make that correct. For that, no, John. One of the problems that face this country is that we have become very, very, very indisciplined. We've come very, what I would consider to be, as far as the country is concerned, do it your way. Now, I'm saying that to say this. You don't expect anything different. When you look at the transformation that this country has made over the last couple of years, for example, when we look at our communication, we look at our radio, there's some almost, I would probably think about 17, 18 radio stations, FM stations accommodated in the country. When we look at our television stations, now we only, not that we have one, but we have what we consider to be almost, some people got over 100 stations, 114 stations within their homes. So, there are almost 200 and something telephone, cell phones on the in use on the market. So we have come a long way, but we have progressed as far as those areas are concerned. But we have retired ourselves in the discipline of a country on the move. Now, I hear a lot of people talking about crime. Now, obviously, if you've got all of these areas of exposure and the lizard cross in front of Carter, and the person see it, they can photograph it, or they can make news of it. So a lot of things that are making news and making headline news are things that people have now become news catchers of. So we would face this until people relate to the fact that we are playing catch-up in relation to foreign countries. Now, I say that to say this. We talk a lot about crime, but we have not at least set about to talk about, put in place what would consider to be one of the main areas to control crime. That is what I would probably call people to control the anger watch people.
Anger management.
Mm-hmm. Anger management, right? We need to establish for all generations, the primary, secondary, tertiary, and the adult, how important it is to control that area as far as our lives are concerned. We've allowed a lot of things to go unnoticed and expect to pull back. For example, years ago, you and I probably would know that there was a censorship board that would prevent certain pictures from being shown because of what it may happen, either the violence or either something that they don't want to expose to the community. Now we have a situation where any and everything is being screened and screened right inside of your house, and there's no censorship board. So I want to know what has become of the censorship board and what the censorship board does in order to control these movies that some are bought on the street and some relayed right into your homes. Now, if we are supposed to correct ourselves and supposed to have a better, the gentleman spoke in the 70s on the Arab Bar, but one must understand that we are more active now than we were then. But my concern is that as Barbadians, we have got to forget some things. As Barbadians, we've got to understand that is not really for us. As Barbadians, we have got to understand fully that we can't complain about something and condoning it all the time. So if you talk about the cell phones have now become the third reporter on the street. most of the things that you see now, you see on cell phone before you actually get it within the media. And that is a negative point for somebody to at least put a newscast out there. We have to go back. We have to do a lot of things. We have to backstep a little bit in order to not to be complaining of the things that we're complaining of. We have to find out why it is that there's no anger management carried on from primary level. Because at a primary school level, at the day nursery, there's still some little couples and some little fights that needs to be looked at. So as far as anger management is concerned, all of these people who are talking about raising children and all these people who talk about you shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that, I think they need to go back and do some anger management. And anger management would be good for the day nurseries, would be good for the primary schools, mm-hmm. Would be good for...
Some sort of conflict resolution and how to handle problems.
Right.
Okay. Well, I got you, Mark.
We cannot keep complaining and not putting things in place. Because we have passed so many gaps and so many highways and so many roads, and we have not looked down those gaps and those highways and those roads because we believe that we will arrive at some point. We have arrived now, Barbados have arrived.
Okay, Mark, I want to thank you so much for your contribution as always. Down to Brass Tacks, 12:55. You are on the air.
Good afternoon, Jayan.
Good afternoon.
And you know Erie Hill.
Erie Hill and there are two.
In St. Joseph.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like when you're coming from St. Anne's Church and you're coming in, mm-hmm. there's a bridge that break there. But underneath that bridge is a tunnel. The water that comes through that tunnel come from away in St. Anne through Bryce Gully and come in. So all... Each time we're having all this rainfall, the bridge is breaking and falling in.
Mm. So you turn the radio off just in case it's interfering with you.
Pardon?
Your radio.
Oh, yes. Let me cut it up. So, and that water go into Dr. Gully, into Russia Gully, into Clifton and go in. But if we have a blockage of fridge and storm and all that, we don't have a clear path. So right now it is... Anything can happen. That bridge could collapse. That whole road could collapse. And it could cause a catastrophe. I wouldn't like that anything that my children have to pass, my family and things have to pass there. Mm-hmm. So we like somebody. All they do is put out a lot of road this and road that. It needs urgent attention, Cheyenne.
So you have drawn this to the attention of before you spoke to us, before you came to Brass Tacks. You've made others aware?
I called MTW already, you know, about that. Put up stones, put up all those little things. But we don't need that because a lot of heavy trucks pass there with wood and sand. And people that live in St. Andrew take that road to go to come through this road every morning and go in that direction to go to Christ Church to work. So it is a road that is very heavily used.
Okay.
So
let's just hope the powers that be here.
Yes, and yes.
And respond.
Right. Like the one in Lane Bridge, mm-hmm. that has collapsed. And the fellow said he just passed over it. That was years ago. And, you know, I wouldn't like that to thing to collapse because of the drop that's going to drop. You know, I don't think you're going to live.
Wow. Well, it certainly sounds like a very serious matter, and hoping that those who are responsible can respond.
And know all this rain that's going to fall.
Well, I was about to say that this afternoon. I'm praying to God that nothing happens.
So I tell my daughter, when you say a certain mate, you know, don't come too late. If you come around Chimereza and come in,
mm-hmm.
come back home, you know, come in. Because if something coming up, anybody may not know the road. He can go through that little space and land in the gully.
Oh, dear. Well, let's hope not. I want to thank you very, very much for that,
yes.
And hoping that persons responsible, you know, they're hearing and something is done sooner rather than later. Someone is asking if Tony Moore is sitting in the Senate today. We did a little check, and Senator Moore is at our seat in the Senate today, for those who want to know. Downs Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
A blessed day to you, Miss.
And to you.
Thank you kindly. I trust that your day, the beautiful one, and the family in Barbados in general. Now, I want to make two observations. That is, both is concerning the welfare department. I want to thank them for their thought of asking persons who have accommodations to call in to the department to offer those accommodations to them, because the department is, on a daily basis, I understand, has a great demand for accommodations for persons. And I thought only 2-3 weeks ago that, having heard the truant speech where those who are differently abled are asked or are being told that they will be participating in the economic activities, that those persons who have extra accommodation, maybe those who are differently abled or elderly persons who would have had children and who would have married and gone overseas, they would have had accommodations, that I thought it would have been a good thing if the department would have asked them for those accommodations that would help supplement their pensions. And they have done that. I thought that's a very good, and I want to compliment them for that. I also want to say to them, to make them aware, that their Spikestone branch seems to have a problem because there are landlords and tenants that are calling in to have those contracts that they've got renewed, because in their landlords who are still waiting to receive pension, their rent and so on, and they've been unable to get them to call them in because these persons have called in and the security guard is taking the message and saying, leave your name and your number, someone will get back to you. And they have not gotten back to any of them, as I am told. So I would like to make them aware of that, because if they're going to ask other persons to come on stream to accommodate accommodations, those persons would need to be able to know that they'll be able to receive their rent on time and so on. So I want to make them aware of that, because this can give the department a very bad name. And I know the department, their workers, they are very efficient and very affable. So I want to make them be aware of that. You need to make a comment on that?
Well, a general one pertaining to workers, period, in government, now that we know that 3,100 persons will be appointed, I'm hoping to see an improvement of service right across the board. And I think, you know, that's important. It's one thing to appoint people and make sure that they get more money, but places like welfare department and NIS or Child Care Board, Water Authority, all these entities that people complain about, we're just hoping that they can function.
Yeah, I think also that these homes will also be able to employ persons to help clean the place and do things of that sort. So that would help with the unemployment situation in the country as well, you know? So
well, you know, it's funny. We want to help with the unemployment situation, and there are rights for those workers' rights. But what about the rights of the employers and the right to fair work for fair pay? In other words, we're talking about making sure we have job security and hiring people, but who's looking after the employer by saying, look, you know, these people are not working. So by the time they have to either issue them a letter or get rid of them, or, you know, in the government, it's kind of hard to do that. I think this going forward, in order for us to move forward, we need to create a balance with fair employment. In other words, employers need to be fair, but employees need to still give of their best. It is not fair to an employer to be paying someone every week or every month and they're not getting the results. And then somebody goes to union and then, you know, all these things happen afterwards.
Right. I was speaking mainly, as far as the employment, I was speaking about the homeowners Mm-hmm. Having someone to assist them, like cleaning around the place and so on. I wasn't seeing
No, I only jumped on it when you said it will increase unemployment. It would reduce, unemployment.
Right.
But I was just saying that it's good to reduce the unemployment, but we're hoping that people who get jobs, even in that area, that they give up their best.
All right, anyway, I just want the the welfare department to be aware of what's happening in Spice Town because it's very frustrating and persons are very concerned. So I would like to ask them to, you know, pay a little attention to that. Thank you kindly.
You're welcome.